You know, I think that if you had an attorney general there, like a Matt Gaetz, who wanted to break the law, who wanted to tear the place down and go after Trump's enemies, yeah, you could have it. That position is very powerful. But knowing Pam Bondi, and I can speak from personal experience in working with her, that's not who she is. She appointed me, a Democrat, to lead her anti-pill mill efforts to go after the opioid epidemic. She didn't have to do that. She could have picked a lot of Republicans, but she chose me. In fact, I was a political opponent. I was running for the same position as attorney general. And she reached across party lines because she had never come, she didn't come from the world of politics. She's not inculcated in the whole partisanship, the whole we're good, they're bad. She was a professional prosecutor for years. And then this was her first race running for attorney general. And she's never run for anything since then. So that's why I just don't believe that she's going to do the DC mentality of, all right, it's shirts versus skins, us versus them. She comes from a different mentality. And although she is loyal to Donald Trump, I'm not being a Pollyanna about it. She is loyal mm-hmm. to Donald Trump. I think that loyalty will carry just so far up to that line. But I don't believe she'll cross it to do something that she knows is illegal.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Highly Conflicted, where we unpack the news inside Trump world and what might be coming down next at Mar-a-Lago. Ahead of Trump's return to the White House, the first of his cabinet nominees waltzed up to Capitol Hill to sit through their confirmation hearings this week. First, it was Pete Hegseth, who has been tapped to be the defense secretary, who appeared before the Senate Armed Services Committee under a cloud of allegations that he had committed sexual assault, drank to excess, and sexually pursued female subordinates. But at his hearing, despite the best efforts of Democrats like Tim Kaine, who outright asked him about his alleged marital infidelity, Hegseth coasted through just one round of questions from lawmakers and came out effectively unscathed. And our reporting suggests that he will even pick up one Democratic vote and easily secure his confirmation to lead the Pentagon. Then it was Pam Bondi, Trump's pick for attorney general, who tried to portray herself as a nonpartisan prosecutor, but also often seemed to lean hard into her personal loyalty to Trump, which is well documented through her work as one of his impeachment defense lawyers and her support for Trump's discredited 2020 election fraud claims. I believe she was also at the Four Seasons Total Landscaping press conference with Rudy Giuliani. On the other hand, Bondi said she would uphold the White House contacts policy, which limits interactions between West Wing officials and Justice Department officials. And she also insisted that there would be, quote, no enemies list at the Justice Department, referencing the so-called perceived political enemies that Trump's FBI director pick, Kash Patel, detailed in an appendix in his book. But on the other hand, she also said a lot of things that would probably fail to allay the concerns among Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee. Namely, that she would be unable to resist political pressure from the White House, and more importantly, from Trump himself. She expressly avoided saying that Trump lost the 2020 election, delivering the boilerplate response that Joe Biden became the president, and Joe Biden is the president. And she dodged tougher hypotheticals, like what she would do if Trump asked her to use the Justice Department's for his own ends. Pressed on her own remarks on TV about her interest in, quote, prosecuting the prosecutors, comments widely seen as being aimed at the prosecutors who came after Trump, Bondi pivoted to complain about a prosecutor who had doctored an application for a surveillance warrant during the Russia investigation. So to talk about what the Pam Bondi Justice Department might look like, I'm joined today by Dave Ehrenberg, the former state attorney for Palm Beach County, who knows Pam Bondi pretty well after she appointed him as the drug czar when she was the Florida Attorney General. So Dave, it's great to have you here. So I wanted to talk to you about Pam Bondi because you've worked with her. You've worked with her quite closely. And I guess I really wanted to know if you think she will be able to continue this tightrope walking that she did in her confirmation hearing when she was portraying herself on the one hand as a nonpartisan prosecutor, and on the other hand was using kind of boilerplate language that echoed a lot of what Trump would say with respect to the 2020 election and kind of the Russia investigation, for instance.
Hugo, it's good to be with you. We saw during her confirmation hearing that she did what just about everyone does, and that is tried to not provide too many specifics because you don't want to get in trouble. And especially when you're talking about hypotheticals, when you're talking about a touchy subject like the 2020 election. So I thought she did very well, especially by the modern standards of nominees before the Senate Judiciary Committee. I do think that she did stress a level of independence that may have surprised people. She First off, she said that she accepted the results of the 2020 election. She said that there is not going to be an enemies list within the Department of Justice. And although I disagreed with her assessment of the current Department of Justice, that it was weaponized, I do not believe that. But it was nice to hear her saying that it will not be so under her administration. And so I think it, if you listen to her words, it did seem like she would resist any order from the president that she disagreed with. She is loyal to him, but knowing Pam Bondi as I do not believe she would knowingly do something illegal, even if the president told her to do so.
Yeah, I just want to push back a little bit on the 2020 election point, because that came up a lot during the hearing. And I was there in the hearing room, and you know, she didn't expressly say that Trump lost the election. And correct. I know there is the whole kind of language and phraseology that you have to use as a Trump nominee, because you also cannot risk him trying to sink your nomination down the line before it gets to a full Senate vote. So it's not that I don't understand that. But her response is the typical Trump world Republican response, which is President Biden won the election. There were irregularities, and I'm not going to say anything more than President Biden is the president and he won the election. She would never actually say that Trump lost. And I guess the reason why that has come up so prominently in the discourse is because she was one of the people that endorsed his discredited election fraud claims. And I think she was even at the Four Seasons Total Landscaping press conference when Rudy Giuliani was talking about all the networks don't declare Trump the winner. So I think that's kind of where that's coming from. And I mean, I guess it's a two-part question. One, do you think she really believes the conspiracy theories and the discredited claims about a stolen election? And number two, do you think when she refuses to say that Trump lost the election specifically, that's her trying to just cover herself so that she gets through this process?
Hugo, they all seem to have that same playbook. And no one wants to upset the leader. And so in a sense, all of Trump's appointees and supporters play to an audience of one in that. I mean, it is a fact, not opinion, that he lost the election. It is a fact that there was no rampant election fraud. It's a fact, not an opinion. And as far as her comments, I did take some confidence in seeing that she never used the F word, fraud. She said she saw things in Pennsylvania, okay? And so I thought she went about as far as a Trump nominee could go. Trump was not going to nominate anyone for attorney general who contradicted his election fraud claims. That was never going to happen. And so
I agree with that.
Yeah, my message for Democrats has been that this is the best that Democrats are going to get from Donald Trump. If Pam Bondi's rejected, and she won't be, she's going to pass, but if she's rejected, the next nominee will be like Rudy Giuliani or maybe the MyPillow guy with a law degree from Trump University. So I don't think it's going to get any better. Sally Yates ain't walking through that door. I know Pam Bondi, and I do know her to be someone who believes in the rule of law. And even if she does things that I will disagree with, like when she investigates the investigators, which will be a mistake, but if she goes down that road, and I think she will, mm-hmm. at least she'll be tethered to the rule of law. I think that's important. So yes, I think that, you know, I would have loved to hear more about that the election fraud claims were all bogus, but you know, you were never going to get that. And I thought she went farther than most people probably expected her to go.
I agree with that. I think that's fair. When you look at Pam Bondi's nomination and how she might run the Justice Department, do you think she would be more of a Jeff Sessions type of attorney general, or do you think she would be more of a Bill Barr type attorney general? And, you know, for the listeners that don't immediately recall the history, you know, Jeff Sessions famously recused himself from the Russia investigation and from investigating Hillary Clinton's emails because, you know, he was a partisan actor in the lead up to the 2016 election. Bill Barr, on the other hand, you know, came into his confirmation and his whole nomination process saying that, you know, Mueller overstepped and the Russia investigation was going too far, and was quite happy to try and play ball with Trump all the way until just before January 6th, when Trump was trying to get him to say the department was investigating fraud, which it wasn't. And that was when he resigned. So the bars for resigning or recusal, I guess, were different. For Jeff Sessions, it was lower than Bill Barr. Where do you see on the sliding scale, Pam Bondi coming in?
I think she's going to take elements from both. Jeff Sessions, even though he recused himself, he was full force in Trump's policies, you know, all the other law enforcement policies. I think Pam Bondi will be that way for immigration, for when it comes to drug trafficking, fentanyl. I think she will be all the way for Trump's policies. Now, where it gets controversial is investigating the investigators. I do think she will borrow a page from Bill Barr and do that. That's where in the investigating the investigators is not unprecedented. Bill Barr did that by appointing John Durham to investigate the origins of the Russia probe. And so that was, I thought, a politicized investigation, and it blew up in their face. It was a humiliation because all they could find were indictments of low-level officials. Two people went to trial, and they lost both of them. They got quick acquittals. No prosecutor wants that. So if she decides to go down that road, there are pitfalls ahead, and I think that could be a mistake. That would be a mistake. But I do not think she would walk Anthony Fauci, Liz Cheney, Adam Schiff out in handcuffs. I do think that the first appointee for Attorney General, Matt Gaetz, would have done that. He would have burned the place down. Pam Bondi is more of an institutionalist. She's a 20-year prosecutor. She is not a political hack. I think that at some point when Trump asks her to go too far, I think she'll resist. And contrary to Jeff Sessions, who was never really a Trump guy, contrary to Bill Barr, who was never really a Trump guy, Pam Bondi is an inner circle Trump supporter, believer, friend, and she has the credibility, in my eyes, to tell him no.
That's actually really interesting, right? Because there is truth to what you say about, you know, people in the inner circle telling him things do carry a lot of weight, especially if they've been loyal for a long time. But I wonder if that is going to be like a one shot thing, and she better save it for whatever's going to be the worst thing, because you can only play that card once with Trump. Which I guess kind of leads me to my next question, which is if she is faced with Kash Patel as the FBI director, which our reporting suggests that he will have the votes to be confirmed to that position, how is she going to play that? If Kash Patel unilaterally or decides to do whatever he wants to do, whether it's, you know, with a so-called enemies list, you know, that came up in Pam Bondi's hearing. She was repeatedly asked about whether there would be any sort of enemies list prosecuting in her department, and she expressly said there wouldn't be, and I understand that. But when push comes to shove, and, you know, Trump is telling Kash Patel to do certain things at the FBI, will she be able to rein that in? And if so, why do you think that?
She'll have the final word as the attorney general. She'll decide if someone investigated by Kash Patel gets charged with a crime, if there is an indictment sought. But there's an old adage, you can beat the rap, but you can't beat the ride. And that's where Kash Patel can be quite powerful and dangerous. By going after political enemies, he could ensure that those people are investigated and have to deal with months of intrusions upon their privacy, millions of dollars possibly in defense fees, and ultimately face a grand jury. So he does have power if he's confirmed. I think he will be confirmed. But Pam Bondi did contradict him by saying there will be no enemies list. Even though Kash Patel did have one, Pam Bondi said there will be none, and it will not be a politicized Department of Justice. And that she said that if she believed Trump was going to ask her to do something improper, she would never have taken the job. I'm paraphrasing, but she said something to that effect. So, you know, like maybe the immunity decision that the Supreme Court came out with protects Trump. It does not protect anyone else. It will not protect Pam Bondi if she does something illegal. She knows that. No one wants to end up like Mike Nifong, the controversial Duke lacrosse prosecutor who invented evidence, suppressed real evidence, and ended up in jail. So no one wants to have their reputation destroyed and freedom taken away.
Do you think that's true even if Trump went and said, hey, in light of the Supreme Court decision, why don't you, like, basically you and I enter into a conspiracy, I'll protect you, no one can ever investigate this, this cannot be criminally charged, but I'm going to tell you to do something illegal, and you'll be under the auspices of my immunity, and I'll protect you for anything down the road.
Well, Hugo, one thing we've learned about Donald Trump, he doesn't talk like that. Michael Cohen has said that he talks more like a gangster, right, like a mob boss, right? He'll talk around it, and it's up to the listener to understand what he says. I can see that if he ever did that with Pam Bondi and she knows it's illegal, she'll pretend that she didn't hear what he said. Like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know that's what you meant. And so
but she
no,
could
I
still
don't
carry it out, right? She could have plausible denial. And I'm just playing devil's advocate to the worst, you know, extents of this. And you know, I'm it's, again, this is the hypothetical that she didn't want to go down. But in theory, I guess it, you know, it would be possible for her to understand innately what Trump wants her to do, and then to do it.
You know, I think that if you had an attorney general there, like a Matt Gaetz, who wanted to break the law, who wanted to tear the place down and go after Trump's enemies, yeah, you could have it. That position is very powerful. But knowing Pam Bondi, and I can speak from personal experience in working with her, that's not who she is. She appointed me, a Democrat, to lead her anti-pill mill efforts to go after the opioid epidemic. She didn't have to do that. She could have picked a lot of Republicans, but she chose me. In fact, I was a political opponent. I was running for the same position as attorney general. And she reached across party lines because she had never come, she didn't come from the world of politics. She's not inculcated in the whole partisanship, the whole we're good, they're bad. She was a professional prosecutor for years. And then this was her first race running for attorney general. And she's never run for anything since then. So that's why I just don't believe that she's going to do the DC mentality of, all right, it's shirts versus skins, us versus them. She comes from a different mentality. And although she is loyal to Donald Trump, I'm not being a Pollyanna about it. She is loyal mm-hmm. to Donald Trump. I think that loyalty will carry just so far up to that line. But I don't believe she'll cross it to do something that she knows is illegal.
I do want to touch on this a little bit because she is widely credited on both sides for her work with the pill mill stuff and the opioid stuff. And it came up at her hearing as an area that she wanted to focus on also separate of the Bureau of Prisons, which was another area she touched on. But you were involved in the work done in Florida with that. And could you speak a little bit about, you know, what she did well with the with kind of the opioid stuff and combating illegal drugs, and maybe things that you saw that were handled badly, if any?
Well, when it came to the opioid epidemic, I didn't see anything handled badly. I saw a masterclass in convincing your own party to go along, even when they were very reluctant. The legislature in Florida was very libertarian at the time, still is. And Pam Bondi had the credibility to go to that Republican, conservative, libertarian legislature and say, we need you to pass new regulations on these pain clinics. And in fact, we need you to establish a prescription drug monitoring database. I know you think it's Big Brother, but all these other states have it. And we need it for us to put an end to doctor shopping. She got it done. Mm. And she worked with the governor and helps change his mind. That was Rick Scott at the time, now U.S. Senator. Mm. And we're able to work together. And I helped lead the efforts. And we shut them down. We shut down the pill mills and reduce the number of deaths from opioid overdose deaths dramatically. And she deserves a lot of credit for that. She did things that others would not have been able to do. If I was elected attorney general as a Democrat, I would have proposed the same legislation, and the Republicans and the legislature probably would have rejected me. So kudos to her for that. As far as things I'd be critical of, that was my one area. Like, I wasn't involved in anything else in the administration. So there are people who would disagree with some of her policies. I personally disagreed with her on some political things. We're from different parties and different ideologies. Mm-hmm. But as far as her actions as attorney general in working with me on things, I didn't see anything untoward, unethical, or anything I could disagree with within the scope of the pill mills, opioid overdose, and the opioid epidemic. I thought she did a really good job with it.
And I guess just finally, because you know, everyone we've spoken to around the time she was running for Florida AG, you know, she went on Fox News a lot. And, you know, Trump also knows her from Fox in part. And so do you think she is kind of a political operator who is good on TV and says the right things for a TV audience, but then, you know, remains fairly nonpartisan in terms of being a prosecutor? I mean, have you seen any instances of what she says on TV creep into her professional work?
You know, it's a good point. They brought up her TV appearances. But when you're going on TV as a political or legal pundit, it's a different role than being the chief law enforcement officer of the United States. And so when she's out there doing her stuff on Fox News, it's different than this role. And people show that interview where she said, when we get in power, we're going to investigate the investigators. We're going to prosecute the prosecutors. But it's vintage Pam Bondi, where as soon as she realized when she said, prosecute the prosecutors, she realized she went too far. And so you remember what she did? She then backtracked the bad ones.
Right.
That's vintage Pam Bondi. She knew as a prosecutor, you don't prosecute the prosecutors because you disagree with it with them. You go after the bad ones. Now, who's the bad ones? Well, you know, that's what investigations, I guess, are for. But you have to have the evidence and the law on your side. And she knows that. And that's why I felt so much better when she was appointed to this position, as opposed to someone who was not going to abide by any guardrails. So far in her elected life, in her career as an appointed or elected official, she's only been Attorney General of Florida, so it was 8 years. She abided by guardrails. She abided by the rule of law, and she has a good track record. Will that change now in this position? I hope not. I don't believe so. But we'll see what the next 4 years hold.
Have you heard, just on a general point, if there are people from her time as Florida AG that she might want to bring into the Justice Department, kind of names you're hearing bandied around, just to get a sense of what the Office of the Attorney General, OAG, might look like?
You know, Nick Cox is someone she worked closely with. He testified on day two, and he's a current statewide prosecutor. He has shown to be nonpartisan. He has worked under several different administrations now. But I'm not sure he wants to leave Tampa to go to D.C.
I only asked this because I know you're based in Palm Beach. You're very close to the action. Me. Well, no, you or anyone else, but you know, you pick up the, you know, just being around it, you pick up the chatter, right? So I can tell you,
Hugo, I will not be taking any position. I will not be offered any position either. I think that
she'll reach across party lines again.
Well, as much as she may, I don't think that stuff I've said on some of the cable on MSNBC, for example, would go over well in this administration. Plus, I'm out of politics for now. I did 12 years as state attorney, and now it's time for a new chapter in the private sector. My wife will not allow me to go back in the public sector, at least for not a few years.
Well, I hear there's an opening at Ballard Partners where Pam Bondi just left, so maybe you could slide into that role. I don't know, but thank you for your insights, Dave, and we appreciate it.
Thank you, Hugo.